Thank you, Hannah, for sharing that powerful song with us this morning. So thankful for the wondrous cross in my life, and I'm sure that you are as well this morning. I wanted to take a moment this morning. The question has come to me in regard to the mortgage. I'm sure many of you are wondering. We haven't really talked about that in a couple weeks, but we did want to share with you this morning. We were kind of waiting for that official paper that said paid in full. I'm sure glad that at the cross Jesus paid for my sin in full. We have unfortunately yet, to the best of my knowledge, to get the paper from the mortgage holder stating paid in full. But I do want to let you know that the week of May 20th-ish, the week of May 20th, the mortgage was paid in full. And so today, we can rejoice at some level. The mortgage is paid, and then in July 9th, we are going to have a mortgage Bernie, and our district superintendent, Gary Heinbach, is going to be with us, and we are going to celebrate the payoff of the mortgage for the church. And so we want to take a moment and thank everybody who has generously given to the payoff of the mortgage. And I know the Lord's going to continue to bless, and I'm going to say this carefully. Just because the mortgage is paid off doesn't mean that you don't have to still continue to give generously to the work of the kingdom. Because, as you know, there's still bills to be paid. And so your generosity is so much appreciated. And God has got some great things for us in the future as we continue to worship Him and be mindful of where the Lord is taking us as a body of believers. And so praise His name this morning for His goodness to us. It's okay to clap for a moment for that. There you go. Yeah. But remember, the celebration is yet to come. And by then, I hope we get our paid in full. We might have to request that, but we're going to get that. Well, in the meantime, have you ever gotten stuck in a rut? Oh, yeah. I remember some of the old-timers at Plug Run talking about ruts. And once you're in a rut, how difficult it is to get out of a rut, or in our time we might say, you know, we just got stuck. And there's several times that I have got stuck. I have a 97 Ford pickup truck. Sure looks nice, but I tell you what, even parked on flat surface and wet grass, sometimes it just doesn't want to go anywhere. And so sometimes it's easy to get stuck. But I think there's a difference in being stuck and then stuck in a rut. Jack Norman shared with me a comment that someone had shared with him years ago. He said, a rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends knocked out. And the unfortunate part is life is full of ruts. It's easy to fall into a rut and often difficult to get out. We can fall into a rut or get stuck, sometimes at work, at home, believe it or not, even at church. Ruts are often created in the boggy confines of hopeless routines. Same thing over and over again. But the truth is, sometimes we just get stuck. And that's just the truth of the matter. We'll find in our scripture today that Jesus met a man stuck in a rut. In fact, for 38 years, that man had suffered from paralysis, and his dreams had slowly evaporated. That's what a rut does to us. Perhaps he still imagined what it'd feel like to walk into Jerusalem or to run through the fields, maybe to throw his leg over a branch of a tree. or maybe even dance at a wedding festival. The years apparently had taken a toll. The man's future dangled by a thread. So Jesus challenged him to get out of the rut he was in. I want to challenge us today that if we are stuck or stuck in a rut, that Jesus is challenging us in this moment to get out of our rut. So let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would. Let's turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 this morning. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9. As Jesus encounters this gentleman who is genuinely stuck. Stuck in a rut, if you would. Let's stand for the reading of the word. John chapter 5, verse 1 shares with us. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Join us in a word. Dear precious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to be able to gather together as the body of Christ. To be able to worship you, to experience your presence, to experience your mercy and your grace, and your forgiveness, to know, Lord, that we can come and worship you is a powerful and wonderful thing. And so, Lord, we're so glad we have the opportunity to do that today. But, Lord, I believe if we were all honest before you, there are times in our life that we are not much different than the gentleman that is recorded in this passage of Scripture. That we either get stuck or we're stuck in a rut, Lord, and we're struggling. Maybe it's physically, maybe it's emotionally, maybe it's mentally, maybe even this morning, it's spiritually. And we're just stuck. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray that your word would come to our heart and come to our mind, and we would be encouraged today, and we would recognize that we don't have to remain stuck wherever we are, but that we can move forward in you, and we can accomplish, Lord, what it is you've laid upon our heart and mind. And so, Lord, we need you to come this morning. And bring your word to life in us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just touch and move as only you can. We pray that you would let us come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the word. May your will and your way be accomplished. We ask in the powerful and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come to our passage of Scripture this morning, we encounter the man who was paralyzed. And from his scenario, I believe that there are three things. I'd like to refer to as three steps this morning of how to get out of your rut or how to get unstuck. The truth is sometimes when we get stuck, we need a little help. Sometimes we may need a lot of help. I know I've shared this story sometime because in my mind it's just It's probably more funny than it is anything else, and so I know I've shared this story. My brother Rob, at one time, had this beautiful Chevrolet pickup truck. It was red and black, two-tone. It was beautiful, and it had a lift kit on it and had huge, probably 36 mud tires on it. You know, it set way high, had great big tires, and we had got a lot of rain one spring, and he had pulled his truck into his side yard, and they had done some water lines previously there. And if you can get the image of this truck, who set probably yay high or so off the ground, buried, and I do mean buried, to the frame. You could open the door and step right in. Matter of fact, you'd have to sit down to get in if you could get that picture in your mind. It was buried, and I do mean it was stuck. So much stuck that he created his own ruts and couldn't get this big, beautiful old truck out of his yard. But what was funny about that is he called my dad. Of course, when you get stuck and you need help, you usually call mom and dad. Well, he calls dad to come help pull his truck out of the ruts that he had made. The funny part is my dad had a little blue Toyota pickup truck. Not massive, beautiful it was. Loved that little truck. It was pretty. It was a pretty little thing. My brother's truck, big mud tires, V8, calls my dad with his little blue Toyota, four-cylinder. My dad shows up, believe it or not, hooks onto my brother's big, fancy, pretty truck that was stuck, and I do mean stuck. And with some persuasion, my dad and his little blue truck pulled that big Chevy truck out of the mud. Now, my brother wasn't happy. Not at all. I was delighted. That might have been childhood delight at that time, because my brother always bragged about his truck. And, you know, if I had video, if we had cell phones back in that day, it would have been one of those moments where you would have videoed that, put it on YouTube or Facebook, and had a couple million hits, because that would have been great. But nonetheless, my brother needed help. He probably wouldn't tell that story the way I tell that story. Because I'd have to admit that he was a bit perturbed anyway. But he was stuck and needed some help. And the truth is, there's times in our life when we get stuck in a rut and we need some help. There may even be some of us this morning that's gathered here or listening online that is stuck somewhere, somehow. But we don't admit it. We don't share it with anybody. And that's exactly where this gentleman is and has been for 38 years until Jesus comes along. And we find in this passage of Scripture what I believe are three steps to getting out of the rut, or three steps to getting unstuck. And the first one is this morning. If we're going to get out of the rut or get unstuck, we need to take an honest look at where you are. My brother had to realize that there was no way on his own he was going to get that truck out of those ruts. Wasn't going to happen. If you and I are going to get unstuck or get out of the rut, we need to take an honest look at where we are, and what's happening if we're going to get unstuck. Jesus asked the question to the gentleman that he encountered at the pool of Bethesda, a question that seemed insensitive. This is what he said to the man. Do you want to get well? Isn't that an odd question to a person who has gathered at the pool of Bethesda where people are supposed to get healed for 38 years and hasn't got healed? Isn't that an interesting question? In my mind, I'd like to say, well, duh, what do you think I'm doing here? But the truth is, and we're going to see this unfold in just a minute,
Just because you're someplace doesn't mean you expect anything to happen. Sometimes we're stuck because we choose. To be stuck. We don't have any expectation of getting unstuck. And so we might ask, why did Jesus ask such a harsh question to a helpless man? Why would Jesus really ask this gentleman if he wanted to be well? I think you have to pause and think about that. And I think we might understand the answer might lie with the man's honesty. Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? And what was his response? Well, when the angel comes down and stirs the water, there's no one to help put me in the water. There's a bit of honesty in that. But the truth is, here he was, coming to the pool to get healed, but recognized that there was no hope for him. Because there was no one to help him. And so if we're going to get unstuck, if we're going to get out of the rut, we have to take an honest look at where we are. We have to recognize, first of all, that we're stuck. We have to recognize that we're in the rut. We have to recognize that, believe this or not, we might need a little help. What we see here in our passage of Scripture is that Jesus forced him to face his true condition and to answer what I want to refer to as a gut-deep dilemma. The gentleman had to recognize that there was no way on his own power, without help, that he was going to get unstuck or he's going to get out of this rut and be healed. Sometimes we won't even recognize that we're stuck. Or that we might need a little help. And sometimes we just refuse to ask anyone for help. Because, for some reason, we have this tendency to think that we can do it all on our own. Wellness and healing for the gentleman in our passage of Scripture meant change. And a man or woman unwilling to be changed is unlikely to be honest with Jesus. Sometimes, I don't know why, sometimes we like being stuck. Sometimes we like being in the rut. And the truth is, you can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. The unfortunate circumstance in this scenario of being stuck or being stuck in the rut is that individuals miss out on a tremendous adventure with the Lord by pretending where they're not instead of confessing where they are. The first step in getting out of the rut or getting unstuck is simply brutal honesty. This is where I am, and this is what's happening. We want to get unstuck. We want to get out of the rut. We have to be honest about our circumstances. The second step this morning that I believe we see in this passage of Scripture in regard to getting out of the rut or getting unstuck, is to stop waiting for ideal circumstances. if we want to get unstuck, if we want to get out of the rut, we have to stop waiting for what we understand is the ideal moment. I don't know, how many times have you heard somebody saying, well, I'm just waiting for my ship to come in. There's going to be this perfect moment where everything just aligns and something wonderful is going to happen and I'm going to get out of this rut, I'm going to get unstuck. Let me tell you right now, that is far, far from the reality of the problem. There's still people today who are waiting for their ship to come in. There's people who have come and gone and are in their eternal reward, and their ship still hasn't come in. The truth is, I'm not sure there's an ideal circumstance. And so if we're going to get unstuck, if we're going to get out of the rut, we have to stop waiting for the ideal circumstances. As we think about our passage of Scripture this morning, the man's reply indicated that his attention was not fixed on Jesus, but on circumstances around the pool. Jesus asked him, of course, once again, do you want to be made well? And the man answered, before I can get there, somebody else comes down before me. Circumstances. I know circumstances can cause quite a bit of difficulty in life. But if we wait on the right circumstance to occur, we may be waiting a long time. This man had been waiting for 38 years. And so he's seeing the problem as the circumstances around him. Sometimes we're guilty of blaming the circumstances for our situation. We'll get in trouble here, and that's okay. Sometimes the problem isn't the circumstances. Sometimes the problem, I'm going to say this, is us. Take your head. Because remember, the first step in getting out of the rut or getting unstuck is brutal honesty. Sometimes we need to recognize the reason we're stuck or we're in a rut is because of the decisions or the choices that we've made. Now, I have to admit, sometimes there's circumstances that are out of our control that get us stuck or put us in the rut. But we have to be honest about the circumstance, and then we have to stop waiting for the ideal moment, per se. We understand the man at the pool. He was convinced that the only way to get out of the rut of perilous was to claw and crawl into the water faster than anyone else. His hope was wrapped up in the circumstances. When the right moment comes, or when the right thing happens, when my ship comes in, maybe I'll be the one to get to the water first. Well, we quickly can understand in our passage of Scripture that the competition was fierce. And someone always arrived at the pool before he did. How many times have you heard somebody say, you know, that's what I was going to do, but they got there before I did. Or I just wasn't prepared. I didn't have the money. Circumstances. If we're not careful, we put our hope of getting unstuck and out of the rut in the circumstances unfolding around us. Apparently, what the man didn't realize, it was at the pool of Bethesda. but needed to know, and what we need to know, was that circumstances can't transform for the man withered leg. We need to know this morning that circumstances rarely help us get unstuck or out of the rut. And so sadly, many people remain in a rut spiritually and emotionally and physically and mentally because they put their faith in situations instead of the Savior. So, if we wait for the ideal circumstances before taking a step out of the rut, you'll remain frustrated by every turn of events and not likely get out of your own rut or get unstuck. We see in our passage of Scripture that the circumstances for the gentleman desiring to be healed never changed. 38 years. Same problem. The Scripture said the angel came down and stirred the water. Somebody else was there before he was. 38 years. Circumstances can get you stuck, but they won't get you unstuck. The third step this morning in getting out of the rut or getting unstuck is this. And it's simple. It always perplexes me that the simple things we always make so difficult. Isn't that true? Sometimes we say, well, you know, it's not rocket science. The truth is, sometimes it is, but most of the time it's not. Most of the time the answer is pretty simple. We have to make it fairly difficult. But if we really want to get unstuck, or we want to get out of the rut that we're in, just like this man at the pool of Bethesda, we have to trust Jesus immediately. We have to trust Jesus immediately. Now, I want to take you back to the story about my brother and his big red Chevy truck. If he would have been honest and know that I'm not going to get unstuck, and he would have stopped trying to get unstuck, considering the circumstances around him, and would have called my dad earlier when his truck wasn't buried to the frame, it'd have been much easier to get unstuck. And he wouldn't have created 3 feet deep ruts in the front yard. That's being honest and recognizing the circumstances that we're in. But much easier. The same goes for this gentleman at the pool of Bethesda. Simply needs to trust Jesus now. Right now. In this moment. This second. If we're stuck in a rut, or if we're just stuck in some form or fashion, we need to trust Jesus right now. Not tomorrow. Not when our ship comes in. Not when our circumstances change. Not when this change or that changes, but right now. What we see in our passage of Scripture is this. Jesus gave the man a brief and powerful command to stand. In this interest, 38 years he's come here, laid here. I always think and ask lots of weird questions. Isn't it interesting? He had no one to put him in. But how did he get there? Anyway, you can think about that later. But Jesus gave him a simple and brief but powerful command to stand. Basically, take up your bed and walk. When we are either in a rut or we're stuck, we must actively be faithful at the instant Jesus speaks to us. Just like the man at the pool of Bethesda. The truth is, we don't have time to weigh the merits and the demerits of risk-taking. Should I do this or shouldn't I do that? We're stuck. We're in a rut. Yes, you should do something. Could you imagine the man there at the pool of Bethesda say, "Oh, I don't know about that, Jesus. I've been laying here 38 years, and you know what? I believe this is the year that my ship is going to come in. I've tried to get in the pool over and over and over again, and somebody always gets there before me, but I think today is the day, Jesus. I'm going to make it to the pool before somebody else." And you're saying, you're laughing, saying, "That's absurd." But at the same time, too often, we do the very same thing. "Thank you, Jesus, but I got this all on my own." Here's what happens. A rut feeds upon doubt and uncertainty. There have probably been times in our life where we said, "Well, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if I should do that. I don't know if I know this is what you're sharing, but I just don't know. I don't know if that's the best road for me. I don't know if that's what I should be doing." Man at the pool of Bethesda could have said, "Excuse me, Jesus, don't you realize I'm paralyzed? How am I going to stand up and pick up my mat?" I wonder how many times we might have said, "Lord, don't you recognize the situation I'm in? I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't give that up." This concept of being stuck in a rut or just stuck, I want you to know it dines at the table of hesitation. We are often stuck or get in a rut because we hesitate at the command of Jesus. When Jesus says, "Get up," church, get up. When Jesus says, "Take up your mat," take up your mat. You can count on His power to enable you to pick up your mat and walk right out of that rut. You can count on it. The reason I know we can count on it, because we know a man now, didn't give us a name, but he was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Waiting for his ship to come in, and he encountered Jesus, and Jesus says, "Take up your mat and walk." What does Scripture tell us happened? He picked up his mat and he walked. Been stuck in that rut for 38 years. I want you to know this morning, Jesus makes all the difference. No matter what the circumstances are. No matter if we're stuck, unstuck, in a rut, not in a rut, Jesus makes all the difference. Our defining moment comes or occurs when we make a decision to commit to Him. When we say, "Okay, Jesus, if this is what you're telling me to do, that's what I'm doing." That's the defining moment of life. That's the moment that we can get unstuck. That's the moment we can get out of our rut. I want you to know this morning that our choices affect our present condition and our future state. The man at the pool of Bethesda could have hesitated and said, "No, I don't believe I can do that." And he would have died at the pool of Bethesda and never got out of his rut. But he made a decision to trust Jesus. And it made all the difference. I just want to share with you that we must choose to trust Christ with the direction of our life. Or we choose to allow the rut make the choice for us. We have that choice this morning. We can remain stuck, we can remain in the rut, or we can decide today that Jesus can deliver us from our stuckness. From our sticky situation. From the rut that has kept us from doing everything that we need to do for the kingdom of God. Just a thought. One act of true faith in Jesus is more valuable than 38 years of wishful thinking. So, I wonder today, are you stuck in a rut? Are you stuck this morning in some form or fashion? If you are, I would encourage you to take an honest look at where you are. To stop waiting for the ideal circumstances and simply trust Jesus immediately. And I believe He can move you from your rut or your stuckness to fresh ground. He did it for the man at the pool of Bethesda. I believe He can do it for us at a pond in Notre Dame. Are you stuck in a rut? Let's stand together this morning. Just ask Lana to come to the piano if you would, and Brian, if you want to come and just play something softly. I would just like for us to take a moment and be honest about where we are, what's going on in our life. Maybe we don't know at this moment that we're stuck. Motor's running, wheels are turning, but are we going anywhere? Maybe we just need to come this morning. Maybe we need to symbolically pick up our mat. Come to Jesus. Come to an altar of prayer and say, "Lord, you know, this is where I'm at. This is what's happening in my life. Here's my struggles and my trials. Here's my circumstances. Lord, I feel stuck. I need Your help." Sometimes when we get stuck, we just need help. Sometimes it's easy to get stuck and difficult to get out. May the Lord speak to our hearts.